everybody knows there's not a better time of year. Hear that sleigh, Santa's on his way. Hip hip hooray for Christmas vacation. Got a ton of stuff to celebrate. Now it's getting closer, I can't wait.
Here we are, 50th podcast. We've been here a year. Almost a year.
Guys, we're 50. Almost as old as me.
50.
I wish you were a little more excited, Brian.
I've been trying to get rid of that forever.
It's over, you guys.
Over. No, 50. I'm happy. I can't believe it. It's like a milestone, 50 podcasts, and I think we all last this long.
Yeah.
We have. We all stuck together.
Is this part of your long game of getting rid of us? You're like, we're going to do 60 of these. And
60.
How long do people want to hang out with me?
Exactly. Exactly. Well, we're the multimedia men and women. I'm Brian Kruger. Gotti Elkon's here.
Howdy.
From C-Lig Film News. That's Andrew me. Conway, one of the filmmakers in Dallas.
Okay.
Recently worked on... Shit, what was the...
Amazing Race.
Amazing Race, yes.
You worked on some shit, is what he said.
Yes. Susan Kamyab with his chick's place in Irving Community Television.
Come job!
Gwen Reyes, WFAA,
it's
in the morning, and Fresh Fiction TV.
Yep.
Dot TV.
And Adam Conway with the Angelica Film Center.
Hey. It's a movie theater.
He certainly doesn't like it in the morning.
Hate it.
We're like 10 or 11 days away from Christmas. Awesome. Two days away from Hanukkah. Right, Gotti?
Mazel tov.
Mazel tov. Okay, so for the Jews, has Hanukkah started yet?
No. Two days.
2 days. Okay. Because I've been seeing a lot of those big Gotti menorahs.
Menorahs.
And they're all lit up, so I'm like, what? Lord
Park
has one.
Yeah, it's all
nice. Brian has his Jewish star tree topper that it got from the Shark Tank guy.
I've had that forever. But since this is the end of the year, we're going to do our best of and worst of films,
our worst.
Episodes, TVs, shows, video games, whatever you like. Interviews, our worst and best podcasts. But we're going to start out with the worst of the year. We're going to do the worst films of 2014. We're limited to only 5 of the worst. I guess I'll start, and then Gotti will follow me.
Always.
Worst. My 5th one, probably you did not see it, but it was released this year as a film called Reasonable Doubt. It was with Sam Jackson.
Samuel.
It was really terrible. And then number...
Wait, was that the South African one?
No, it was not the South African. No, it was really
bad. That was the Mandela movie.
Oh, that's
the
South African. Oh, yeah.
And that was Idris.
That would be one year, like a week.
It was 1 year, yeah. It was terrible. It was a murder mystery. It was really bad. Highly, don't do it. Number 4 was When the Game Stands Tall. I remember Susan and I saw it together, and we had to interview the guy, and we're like, what are we going to do? It was a football movie with Jim Caviezel, Laura Dern. It was just awful.
It was everybody's worst performance, and it was... But when we went in, we both said we were not going to tell him, like, we love the movie or anything.
I stuck to that.
I didn't say that. I did not say I like the movie. I told him, great football scene.
It's really bad to see it.
That's when you roll into it, and you're like, you made a movie. Congratulations. I didn't say congrats. It's all done. Congratulations.
Yeah, it was poorly done on every level.
Jesus, not a good coach.
No, it was very monotone for the whole movie.
He didn't want to be there. I think he was paid a large sum of money, and he was like, well, I'm going to do the worst possible performance for me.
It was great. The guy who directed When the Game Stands Tall did not direct the football scene. It was somebody else. Those were the best scenes.
The best scene he didn't even direct.
My number 3 worst film of the year, Tammy. I thought that was just such a terrible piece of shit.
I giggled a lot in Tammy.
What? How?
And I think I might have cried.
I like her. What? She just sucked in that movie.
I did cry because it was so bad. Because
it was over. It was over. She was so sad. It was over.
I think I cried in that one because I like mother-daughter stories. And so it was like mother-grandma or a daughter, great, granddaughter, grandmother story. And I, guys, real talk, I cried in Jack and Jill, and that movie was terrible, and I felt manipulated. No.
You cried when Al Pacino dressed up as a vagina.
Yep, that was the one.
Tammy, my number two worst film of the year was The Hobbit, The Battle of the Four.
Thank you! We are best friends for life!
There's so many worse movies.
There's so many worse movies.
There's so many worse movies.
Do you want me to give you my explanation?
Yeah.
Wait, so you should, okay, go ahead.
Yeah, I want to hear every bit of it.
So, with The Hobbit, Battle of the Five Armies, The Lord of the Rings is such an epic trilogy. Return of the King is a masterpiece. It was, every time I still watch that movie, I get emotional. Every character had a transformation from the beginning of The Lord of the Rings to the end of The Lord of the Rings. They were not the same people. They had a transformation. In The Hobbit, they didn't have that. The third Hobbit movie is literally, just nothing happens, but the climactic part of that movie is Smaug, and it happens all before the titles come up for the, like, the Battle of the Five Armies, and then there's nothing else. It looked fairly books.
I had what you're about to say about the looking. I've had a problem with the Hobbit films from day one. Is that the animation? It relies so heavily on animation that by the time we see it, it already looks dated.
Yeah.
That has been a big problem I had with the beginning film. It was just like this looks old. This is already going to look bad when it's on DVD.
Yeah, and then the rest of the 2 hours was literally just action scene where and nobody transformed. Nobody had a thing except for Thorin Oakenshield, where he was like, "I'm overtaken by evil gold," but then I throw off my crown and I'm fine again. It was really bad.
Yeah.
It was. I felt like every single time there was a reaction shot that we were watching Days of Our Lives and going to a commercial break. It was like that every time. It was like.
And I totally blame the studio because they did three movies.
They could have done two.
Or one 3.5 hours.
That first movie could have easily been combined with the second.
Second one is. I really enjoyed the second one.
Like the second and third. I like the second.
But as a whole,
when
you say like this epic Lord of the Rings, how it was into this, it's like it just petered out.
Get Peter Jackson out.
So that's why I was so disappointed. I'm such a Lord of the Rings fan. It's so bad.
I was pretty much out after like the first one, where it was like a 15 minute. Hey, we're cleaning dishes.
It wasn't 15 minutes, my love.
It was an hour.
How long can you clean this freaking Hobbit place?
The first movie took 45 minutes to literally get out the door. Like it was.
In that cabin for so long.
It was like, get on your journey.
Isn't this called The Forbidden Journey? Wasn't that what we're watching now?
And then it leads to the very anticlimactic little fight.
It's called
Staycation.
Is that what it's called? Staycation.
Smaug was the best part of the movie, and they used him completely.
I'm glad Gollum was in that.
Yeah,
that
was my redeeming factor. I also felt, since we're still on this subject, because I agree, I felt that it needed like a previously on The Hobbit. Because I was like, you're throwing me in the middle of this fight, and I'm like, wait, what? This has been a year.
What is
happening?
Susan had it right. If you combine the first and second movie, you end with Smaug. You open the third movie with Smaug Battle. Everyone's hooked in, and you're
But that's what we did. That's where it began.
No, not title sequence. I'm talking like him being in like we see him going into the gold layer, and that's
Then
you get the entire Smaug in the third.
Oh, that was
movie.
So good.
I don't want to hear Smaug in the second movie at all. I want to meet him. That should have been the final movie, and they knew it.
I wanted more Bilbo.
It was
originally
two movies, and then studio did that.
And it was a money grab, and they failed horribly.
Well, good.
Glad you put it in there. I didn't think you put it in there.
I did.
That was bold, my friend.
And my number one worst movie that I was so disappointed with was Lucy.
I didn't see that.
You didn't see it. Am I the only asshole that saw it?
No, I saw it, and I agree with you. It was horrible.
Song's worst script ever.
It was so bad. It made no sense whatsoever.
Yeah.
It's like a hot girl gets kidnapped by Asian guy, put stuff in body, booms, smartest woman. All
she can see self.
That sounds like a winner right there. But
it was basically like
visually. It was all right. That was the only element that it was.
Was she naked at all?
No.
Well, then I'm out.
Because, under the skin, she's
so
much. That was her only.
I'm only here for naked actresses.
The
they work hard for those bodies.
If Scarlett was naked, it would have been a much better film.
It would have, but Lucy sucked. That's my worst five. Gotti, what's your worst five?
First up, Kevin Costner's 3 Days to Kill.
Really?
It's Liam Neeson already did it. Don't do it.
There were moments in that film that
you
actually
can't copy an older guy doing better at what you.
But old
to
man
do.
Action is in right now. Yeah.
No, it's not. It should be. No, bring back like old men in chairs.
So the November.
He has a certain set of skills.
Yes.
Old man in chairs. What does that even mean, old men in chairs?
He's a big series.
God, he has his certain set of skills.
You're not that old yet to be in chairs anyway.
Is with Lindsay
and Kevin Costner.
I think Kevin Costner is younger than my parents.
He's terrible.
I don't think he's that old. I think
he's like 60.
Yeah.
Next film was poor Idris Elba. No Good Deed, worst fucking concept ever.
That movie was awful. That was so bad.
He's two jacks.
Can we all just say that the trailer looked amazing?
Yes.
Incredible.
And that's what makes it worse. Now, what's so deceiving about that film is you're thinking it's going to be this intense, like, even like a Lifetime drama where, you know, abuse is happening. That's another movie that takes, like, what, an hour and 20 minutes to be exciting? He's literally in the house just being sweet to her, and then, oh, here's the last 20 minutes, and I'm going to be, like, evil and try to kill you, but not. It was
terrible.
Just horrible.
I hated that damn movie.
And then, like, and then it turns into this, like, no, it's about a woman being strong.
What?
This is a Nicholas Sparks movie. It's like, I believe
it like
you.
It felt like they lost the director and come up with something different, and well, let's keep going.
I love this segment.
Was that a Tyler Perry Presents?
No.
I think it should have been. It might as well have been. I love this segment so much because I love listening to what movies broke everybody at this table. Like, we are 100% of the time professionals and we could sit through, like, shitty movies and be like, yeah, okay. You know, it started on time. It was mostly in focus. Oh my God, I almost died.
I'm guessing the other woman's probably in your,
we'll get there. It's in mine. We'll get to that though.
So number three, mainly because I don't remember half the movie because I slept through it.
Nice.
Bam.
Moon Indigo. I still don't know what the F that movie was about.
It was.
And I don't care to know.
Who directed that? Because it's a great director.
It is
Michel Gondry.
Yeah.
It's all style over substance. There is no substance.
It's like he took Science of Sleep and forgot dialogue and fun and everything and just threw it up there.
It,
like, visually, that's... What the hell was he doing?
Yeah.
What is he...
He couldn't decide what was... Yeah, it was... That's on my top five.
Yeah, and I agree. It's a great director that just... He was drunk off his ass for a
steaming pot.
It was the biggest piece of crap. I was so lost. I actually stayed awake the whole time. That was a movie that felt like, I'm like, oh my God, it's only been 45 minutes. I should be like, God's already like...
That's the thing, man. If I fall asleep through a movie, I'm like, this was an amazing film because I had a great nap.
I went into it knowing it was shitty while watching it and then fell asleep, woke up, still shitty.
It was more entertaining to watch Gotti
shitty. Never fall asleep in a movie. You know what, real talk though? It's always fun to watch Gotti fall asleep in a movie.
It's constantly.
Because it's the best. It's called being like super into it and then you're like, he kind of like props himself up when he does it.
Yeah.
So you're like, he's super into this movie. And then you look over, he's like,
his eyes are closed.
Eyes closed, just like real peaceful looking, but super into it. So you're like, you must have fallen asleep a lot in class.
Usually, all this only does it is the favorite movies of the year, but this was definitely
most definitely I fall asleep in most of my favorites. But
so it's number two, worst movie.
Number two, what's the title again? Why You Were Here?
Are You Here?
Oh my God, it's terrible.
So bad.
Another really talented writer who should not do films but stick to TV. What's his face from Mad Men? Matthew
Weiner.
Oh, yeah.
What a horrible excuse for a love story.
It's a good cast, right?
Owen Wilson.
Yeah,
sure.
It wasn't funny at all. Owen Wilson, Zach Galifianakis, Amy Poehler.
There was no direction. They had no idea what they were wanting to tell.
And they were dislikable characters, all of them, a lot of them. Like, I didn't like any quality they had. Zach Galifianakis was weird and just annoying. And then they all started having sex, and I didn't get any of that. Like, why is she having sex with these two dumbasses? It really terrible movie.
Well, her reasoning behind having sex with Zach Galifianakis was ridiculous. Like, she helped me. That's all she... He was trying to explain it to Owen Wilson. Like, no, don't be mad. She was just helping me. In what situation would, like, the girl you're screwing be okay to, like, screw your friend? Like, She's just helping me, guys.
Yeah. That's so disgusting.
Like, no. I'd be like, fuck you.
Also, this is like such a male fantasy where I'm like, when that shit happens in movies, I'm like, I'm out.
Oh,
I'm so
it
out.
Kind of, you know what's sad about it? It kind of makes me look back at the first couple seasons of Mad Men and see how sexist it is. And it gets away with it because it's set in the 60s.
Time period, but
I
really.
I kind of feel like it's not as sexist as a time period as much as Matthew Weiner might be.
Be a sexist?
A sexist. Very Aaron Sorkin-like. Mm-hmm. The more and more I see of Aaron Sorkin, the more I hate him. When I started out, I loved him. Same thing with Weiner. This made me think, maybe he's not that good of a writer. Maybe he's got John Hamm, who's fucking talented.
Yeah.
But, and he's got a bunch of actresses that are much stronger actors than he should
be fortunate enough to be working with.
Great scenes, stupid fucking scenes.
You don't know what Wiener anymore, is what you're saying?
He's super out of Wiener.
When would someone get into it if it was like Tom Hiddleston and Chris Hemsworth making out?
I mean, I'd always be into that. That doesn't sound like a terrible idea at all.
It did annoy me that it was Owen Wilson as the lead. I've seen him as a lead and liked him.
But he was so uncharismatic.
He was flat out, like, rude and mean.
Not himself.
I didn't
at all.
See how he could get anyone to like him.
Yeah.
He's terrible.
Well, it's kind of like, it's like when you have those moments when you're watching a film and you're like, everything going into this is really, really good. Like, one of the movies that's on my worst list is like this, where everything is really good, and then you're like, this script is so sloppy and mm-hmm. so messy and trying to say something that's not really there, that I am just totally out. And it's pulling me out every single time that I can't enjoy what's happening on the screen.
That's
exactly what Artie is.
All right, what's your number one worst
movie? Number one, I don't know who financed this piece of shit, but...
It was me.
Nicolas Cage reviewing Left Behind. Might be the single most.
It was Kirk Cameron.
Worthless piece of shit. Kirk's was watchable.
But Kirk financed.
I didn't like what he was saying, but I could sit through Left Behind with Kirk Cameron.
So
it's his passion. This is flat out exploitation of a shitty fucking film in the first place. Why would you ever do that?
So are you basing this on like regular movies or Nick Cage movies? They're different. Nick Cage
is very different, and Nick's got some really shitty films.
He does.
This year alone, there was like
this
seven.
Might be one of the worst I've ever
but
seen.
But he's had a good film.
I'd rather watch National Treasure over.
I love National Treasure. There is one film this year.
Okay,
the first one was pretty good compared to the second one.
So it was Left
Behind.
Why
would you remake Left Behind? What fucking moron came up with that concept? It's not even like 2 decades old.
Because well, Christian movies are
Christian movie, man.
They're super in. And the Christians don't want to watch old movies, so they're not going to
start. Christians can be better.
So bad.
Why is
Christian stupid then with films?
I didn't want
you know, it was
make
so
smart films.
It was interesting last year when they had MegaFest in town, which was the Faith and Family convention and they had the Faith and it was having the Faith and Family Film Festival alongside it, and I went in kind of just wanting to see what sort of marketing they do to speak to their audience. And they are some savvy motherfuckers, and they make shitty films. Like, they make great trailers, they make great things, and I'm like, you have money to make really good films that don't have to have, like, you know, your character stopping to read passages out of the Bible. Like, you could actually have a very nice faith-based film that is kind of subversive, and they just kind of don't even think about that.
And we saw it with Brandon Wallace, the Braveheart director, made that shitty fucking Christian film.
Oh my god, that should have been in my worst list. Damn it.
See? Like, it's
added.
I think you don't have to show us
the Bible to understand what
yeah, you can have faith and family, and it can be universal. It can be non-Christian. It can be something that speaks to all spirituality and all religions.
Like, go read C.S. Lewis again.
I mean, the Indians do it just fine. I don't know why.
He shows Christianity with a fucking lion. So, like,
but they're yeah.
I mean, if he can speak to kids with that slight little message, these guys can at least make a movie for 2 hours that's halfway decent.
What about Son of God? With
yeah, so the unsuccessful
Obama devil.
Here. Terrible.
Son of God, Noah, freaking
yeah,
Exodus.
What was he to Exodus might be the worst. Yeah. How do you make a film
Exodus was not
and you
good.
Don't have any brown fucking people in it?
Yeah. I love Ridley Scott's argument of that. Well, if we'd had brown people in it, he didn't say brown people, but, you know, if we'd had men of color, then nobody would have financed this movie. Bullshit! There is a whole part of the world that would be happy to throw some money at that.
If you take Idris Elba out of No Good Deed, make his ass fucking Moses, a lot of people go see
I would
that.
See that
shirt
movie. Take some shirt. Oh.
Split in the fucking
yeah.
seat. My Jewish ass is already hard.
Why am I wearing pants? I want to see that movie.
Recast. It's hard.
Recast.
Idris.
Let's recast Exodus.
That was already. Yeah.
Well, that's a good worst list. Andrew, do you have your worst
yes.
list?
Yes.
What is your top or worst five?
My worst five. Mood Indigo is on there. It was my number two. So I won't talk about it again because it's just
okay.
It's not worth talking about.
Okay.
My number five was Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Agreed.
That movie destroyed my childhood.
So disappointed.
So disappointed. And it was even worse. People liked it. And they're making
and
it second.
Well.
It did really well. It was the biggest.
Really well.
But you know what we learned from that movie?
Half a billion.
We
yeah.
learned finally that Megan Fox is a terrible actress. And has terrible skin.
She's always been
yeah.
terrible.
She's bitter all. Still poor in her own.
She's giant thumbs, guys.
I was just so mad in the first Transformers when she like puts her hand against the wheel and you see her like
her toe thumb.
Yes, her toe thumb.
Yeah.
It is.
Oh, yeah.
She did a commercial where she totally had a thumb double.
Yeah.
Where she was like on her phone. I was like, that is not her thumb.
We all know
Wait
what her thumb looks like.
I know what her thumb looks like.
I got pictures of her thumbs. Those are not her thumbs.
But she pretty much only acts in Michael Bay movies, so.
Yeah, I thought about putting that on, but I didn't. No.
You should have. The best part of that movie was the elevator scene. I was like,
that's why I didn't put it in.
Was,
I was like, that elevator scene.
I would take that out of the whole movie, and that would be the
thing. That's exactly why I didn't put it in.
See, I know a lot of people didn't like it. I actually like the like retelling of how they like. Yeah,
how he found a book about karate in a sewer.
I'm not saying.
Oh, let me. This picture book will teach me karate.
I'm not saying that it's accurate. I'm just saying that's what the movie lacked was origin. Like we had no idea. They just threw us in, and it was all about Megan Fox. So I would have rather seen more turtles and how they.
Yeah.
Less Fox, more turtles.
Yeah.
Really nice. And then my next one.
What a weird.
I was really hoping this was going to be good because. This cinematographer has done some really great movies, but unfortunately, he was way too ambitious and made this piece of crap. Transcendence.
That was on, I had a list of works that was on there, and it didn't make sense, but it was really bad.
It was
not
good.
He got fisted.
It was
the pacing on that movie was awesome.
He had everything. He had all the pieces. He had great cast. He had huge budget, which they shouldn't have given him. I think they gave him too much money, and he was too ambitious, and it just turned out.
And that's a very interesting thing because sometimes the ambitious thing can really pay off, and sometimes it just blows up. That's part of the risk taking of making a film. But you need to have a good.
But
he needs
to rein
you in.
I feel like they had too much faith in him. Like they should have given him a smaller budget, so he would have like had a. Zone in and sort of focus his talents a little better because it was just all over the place and it was unsuccessful.
I didn't like it either. It's a good choice.
Then my next one, Maleficent.
That
was
so
bad.
I might
hate
it.
I thought it was
so. And that made $800 million, guys.
It was so bad.
I'm kidding. It was horrible. What are you talking about?
So wait a second. I want to hear. He hated it. You liked it.
Oh yeah.
What or why? Why? Why?
Well, first, Angela Jolie looked like a skeleton. She must weigh like 60 pounds in it, and it was just horrible. Like it made no sense whatsoever. Like it kept going back and forth, and like, there was no plot whatsoever. And just I was just pulling some time up, and she's kind of brooding the whole time. And you should feel bad for her. No, it was just, it was unsuccessful.
The story.
Okay,
yeah.
Got it. Why did you like it?
The story was so enjoyable in the first place. It's a boring story.
It was made up.
No, but
it's a boring
story. Maleficent is evil. She's not good.
You're not explaining why you
liked it.
I liked it visually. It looked great. It was haunting.
Most people are just this
really beautiful the way it soared when she was flying.
Yeah.
Holy shit.
I didn't like how
she herself, I don't care if she looks skinny or whatever, she was fucking good at the role. She played fucking kind of evil, but understand.
Not
evil.
No.
Character.
She didn't do brooding well. So
a horrible movie.
I didn't buy her as that character.
Who would you buy as it, though?
Anybody else? I wouldn't want to buy it. I wouldn't want to see it.
Yeah.
Did y'all ever see the original fucking drawing of her? She looked identical to fucking Jolie.
Her face was green. Why would you do a green face?
Yes.
Well,
and then The whole thing, the whole, like, Charlton Copley, like, great actor, or, like, just his character was just...
He's supposed to play the crazy king, and he played quite well, he was nuts.
Yeah, no,
he's always nuts.
How, I mean,
I'm in love with you, but I'm not.
Well, it's not even a game, you fall in love with the fucking creature.
Yeah, it's completely turn your back.
I don't know.
He's not a simpleton.
But then he raped her. That was the whole point of it. Was that what caused
her?
She
was racist,
and
that's the.
I didn't like when she created the fucking like death trap when she closed everything off. It was one of the coolest scenes.
So there was rape in Maleficent.
Oh yeah.
When he takes off her wings after he sleeps with her, it's like.
He just lives for innocence. And,
ridiculous.
Yeah. I call it just for
Alright, so Maleficent, and your number two is moving to go, and what's your number one?
Number one was I, Frankenstein.
I didn't see this. Did anybody see I, Frankenstein here besides Andrew? You did. You feel the same way?
Oh my god, it's terrible.
It was... And, you know, the premise was interesting. Like, they're like, oh, yeah.
And it's not.
It was so ridiculous. Like,
oh, my God.
It was
terrible.
Yeah. Demons versus
gargoyles.
And somehow Frankenstein is in the middle of everything.
We're here with that. They don't make any sense.
It doesn't make any sense. Like, it's just like...
He's like a cyborg, too.
Yeah, he's just horrible. Aaron Eckhart, he's not a good leading man. The only thing he was ever good in was Thank You for Not Smoking. That was it.
Him. That was a quality writer right there.
That was it. That was like, I'm like trying to think about like,
well,
I don't like Aaron.
Aaron Eckhart, like, I'm sorry. Like, he, yeah.
I was just,
we really
I
mean,
don't He looks real weird.
Creepy. You know what?
His body proportions are so weird.
There's a movie I saw where he was like having sex with a little girl, and ever since I've seen that, he gives me this like creeper vibe.
Did that little girl have like short hair?
No.
Was the little girl 35?
No. She was like 16. And it was like the grossest sex scene I've ever seen. Like his face was just like gross, you know.
Did he have a handlebar mustache?
Well, you should go watch I Think like this. It's a pretty gross sex scene in there.
Yeah. Eric Eckhart is one of those heartthrobs that they keep trying to throw, like, trying to make into something.
They're trying to make a heartthrob. I don't find him a heartthrob.
When they kept trying, they're like, oh, let's get his shirt off here. He needs a shirt off. I'm like, eh.
But you're right. He does have weird proportions.
He's got a small torso. And
Chris Pine is another one. It's like one of those actors with a big head and a tiny body.
Yeah.
Oh, he's
all right. That's Andrew's worst five. Let's move on to Susan's worst five of the year.
I guess this will be my solid worst five, but
you're falling asleep.
Okay, number five, Think Like a Man 2. That was horrible.
I'll say this. I enjoyed the first one so much. Second one really let me down. It was so bad.
The first one was good. I love the first one. I love it. But this one, and I was hoping for like...
this one was just a money grab.
It was terrible.
I was excited because the first one had all these lessons and tips and stuff. And then this one was just like, hey, we're going to Vegas. There's no storyline whatsoever. We're just going to gamble and party.
Wasn't that the plot of Best Man Holiday also?
They did the music video.
That music video is going to suck.
It was ridiculous.
It was so dumb. They just wanted to fill time. He was like, hey, girls, you guys are going to play this music and you're just going to dance.
They actually had the music video text after that scene.
Oh,
they did.
It was bad. Kevin Hart was the only good thing in that movie.
He wasn't the only good thing. He was just as bad as everybody.
Supplied some laughs.
It was his movie.
Supplied some laughs.
Kevin Hart. Supplied some laughs.
That's his new tagline.
I wish I'm going to go back in here and I'm going to record Gotti's Oh My God. That's awful. And just play that every time. That was so good. Alright, what's your number four?
When the Game Stands Tall.
Alright, that was terrible.
Number three is Heaven Is For Real.
Oh. That was so bad.
I can't believe that's not on yours, Brian, because you gave that like a 0.5. It was so bad. I went into that like thinking, because I do like Brandon Wallace. Like, I like Secretariat, and you know, like.
I went in did that think? He was a bichette?
I did not think he was a bichette. I thought, you have great Kinnear. Like, you thought this, I thought this was going to be at least decent. I have nothing against, you know, religious films. But when Jesus shows up in heaven, no, he's like, whatever the kid's name is, he's like, oh, I'm here. And I just said, what is this? So, how did this get approved?
Those kind of movies are so uncomfortable when that shit happens. I'm like, can we just stop?
Like, I was like, if you're going to show the kid go in heaven, do not show me what Jesus looks like or his hand.
It should have been black Jesus.
I just, that was ridiculous. I thought it was like mocking you. Yes.
Well, and that's the thing is when you go with that, when you come in with that sort of like faithful earnest, you're just like, no, this is stupid. You're really pushing too hard.
And it was sad because it actually had me, like with his real story when she was like asking him to pray, like I'm getting emotional, and then they show him in heaven and I'm like,
you lost me,
then you cross the line.
You know it's gonna be bad when like the actors that came in town didn't even see the movie. Martin was like, I don't know that scene you're talking about, you're asking. I'm like, oh,
she hugged me.
She was nice to me. She was not nice to the girl next to me.
We didn't actually talk about the film, though. That's probably why she hugged me. Now that I think about it.
Yeah. Number two is Are You Here? That was, again, it was just so bad.
I'm glad I didn't see that.
Nobody needs to see it at all. And my number one, I can't stop bitching about this movie. The Other Woman.
I didn't see that one.
I've never sat through a film just like slowly just getting angrier and angrier as I'm watching it.
To my life.
Like, it was one, I cannot believe a woman wrote that script.
Yes.
Because that's really offensive. All these girls do is bitch about a guy who is screwing them over. Leslie Mann is the worst representation of a woman being cheated on, like a wife. She just cries and whines, and then eventually she wants her husband.
So there were stereotypes.
Like, very serious. It was like, it was really
hard. But it's like insulting stereotypes where you're like, that's not even real life. Like, there's no basis for that stereotype at all.
It made the girls, like, they made Leslie Mann look like an idiot. Like, she was telling her husband, she's like, I feel like I'm just, like, stupid. Like, my brain's exploded. Like, she was this dumb wife.
It's true.
No,
right?
It's horrible. Like,
get a lawyer and take all the money. First Wife Club that shit.
Yeah, First Wife Club. Now that's how you do a movie about like being cheated on by your husband.
Right.
No,
that's true.
You got Kate Upton, who, like, when she finds that scene when she finds out her
she's got her finger around. Why Susan's pulling out her finger? She's waving it around, guys. You can't see it.
Yeah.
But Susan's
like, so mad. Like, I'm
she's got her finger up.
She's a terrible actress.
Kate Upton, when she finds out about it, like, they meet her on the beach, they tell her what's going on, and then, like, she's like, she's supposed to meet up with the guy, and she's like, guys, don't leave me, I don't know what to do. What are you doing to women right now? Like, would you respond like that?
Oh, I didn't know women wrote scripts. So.
I didn't even know we were allowed to breathe on our own without permission from our husband.
Me neither.
I didn't know we had to good talk.
Yeah, I'm just getting a voice.
So, The Other Woman, okay.
So
that's that one. We gotta get some ice in the hose on Susan. She's too hot.
I love it. I think we can mark 2014 as the year that the movies finally broke Susan. Like, there's a little jadedness coming out of me.
Yeah.
I'm like, yay! That is a.
She's like,
nobody, someone like that movie.
Every movie's awesome.
Oh, can I tell you my experience of that movie? I've never seen it all the way through. When my dad had heart surgery this summer in Florida, and I went to visit him and help bring him back, my aunt was watching, like, a pirated version of it on her shitty television, and she was just like, this movie's so great! And I'm sitting there, and I'm, like, 4 minutes into it, and I'm like, I fucking hate life.
Yeah,
no. This is the worst thing I've ever watched. And then all of you that love this movie are idiots.
No, the people out of the screening, people coming out of the screening, it was pissing me off. They were like, oh, this is hilarious, so good. And Katie, I took Katie.
Best comedy of the
year. Who loves everything, I take her to. Who loves every movie.
Female Brian.
Pretty much. She'll like anything. And for her to come out of the movie, and be like,
it's Cameron Diaz's disease, guys.
I literally just gave you a list of shit I didn't like.
Cameron Diaz is the best thing about the movie, and that says...
All right, before we get to Gwen's worst list, I want to just acknowledge that all of us really have different movies we hated.
I know,
like maybe
it's
one
really
that's pretty
cool.
Awesome.
Yeah.
I like that. So, Gwen,
yes.
What'd you hate?
I only, okay, and my problem is that I only have four because I haven't seen a lot of movies this year. It's been a quiet year for me. But I agree with almost all of the ones that you
really
especially Teenage. I was like, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, I think, is one that I totally forgot that I hated because I've blocked out a lot. Guys, I don't live in a world of negativity anymore, so I just, like, let it all go.
You can tell, Gwen.
Yeah. So, here are my.
Shiny.
I am. So my okay, so my number four was Maze Runner because I was super disappointed the whole time.
See,
I
like Maze Runner.
I
like
it too. I don't agree.
The Giver was worse.
I did not think The Giver was worse. But because The Giver to me was, I'm coming at him from the perspective of somebody who's read the books, and the Maze Runner adaptation I thought was shitty and boring, and I was very concerned about the...
You're mixing your movies up.
Yeah.
The Giver was boring.
No, The Giver was not.
Maze Runner
was
fun
inside The me. Giver was perfectly in tune with the book. Like, if you read the book, that was perfectly in tune. And I was fine with the movie. I knew it was going to be slow. You guys were expecting something big and exciting. That book is not big and exciting. So the movie wasn't big and exciting. The Maze Runner was shitty. And that goddamn little spider thing that came out, I was like, I'm out. This is so stupid. And up until the end, where I was just like, I'm done. Like, I can't believe I gave this movie 2.5 hours. And now I have to go talk to the cast as if I gave a shit. Like, that was even harder, where I was like, I just think this is stupid.
But we did have fun talking to the cast. You know,
we
I
did.
Were, like,
I mean,
laughing
the experience was great. We got to ask him about snacks. It was awesome.
Well, Walter was hilarious. And nice.
We were all,
yes.
So,
nice.
All
right.
So, my next one was X-Men Days of Future.
What?
It was another one that I went in.
Bryan Singer, you suck it, bitch.
Yeah, it was just not good.
What?
It was all over the map. The only thing that was good in it was Quicksilver. Quicksilver scene was great. And the cool thing is that we got to see it twice because the movie broke halfway, right in that scene, so we got to watch that scene all over again.
Oh, so
I hated
good.
It. I hated it. And I loved the first one. This one was just like, all this shit happened off screen, and it's like, we're going to talk about what happened over here. And I'm like, no, I want to see it. Don't tell me. Show me. That is storytelling 101. It was out.
Boom.
So bad.
Wrong,
bad.
Wrong, wrong.
You're like,
I'm going to back one on screen. I'm going to back one
on.
Thank you, God.
To go
I
from Matthew Vaughn in that first film was
so
brilliant.
Good.
To Bryan Singer ruining it all over again. With a bunch of shit, Quicksilver, only thing that was
only thing that was good. And he was just kind of like, okay, bye now, and I'm like, no, stay forever. Stay in this movie for the whole time.
Disagree.
Well, we agreed on
the
topic.
Actually, so wasn't supposed to be the guy that was in the movie. They switched that last
I time. Love Evan Peters.
I'm sick of Hugh Jackman.
And that was my okay, so that again was another issue I had with it, where it was like you have established this whole time that there are these all these new characters and all this new thing, and it's here, and then it's like, well, we don't trust that they're going to be able to hold a movie on their own, so let's bring Hugh Jackman in for no fucking reason.
You've read this comic. How can you dare say this movie was honest to the comic? It completely changed the fucking story.
And you introduce all these characters that we don't even talk
the
about.
Main part.
It's an adaptation. There was.
It's a terrible. It changes the whole fucking stuff. Bishop's in it for 3 seconds.
Some of the heroes had different powers.
I didn't think Omar put him in there for 3 seconds. He's the whole fucking series.
I agree.
That's age.
But I still think it was a good movie. And it was cool to see Hugh Jackman Wolverine as like the straight-laced
character. But he wasn't part of this film. This was supposed to be completely new. We didn't have to revisit Wolverine. I love Hugh Jackman. I love his Wolverine. I would have just been happy to not have any of that. I don't think that they trusted that Michael Fassbender and James McAvoy and Jennifer Lawrence could handle holding a film, which I think is really, really short-sighted. They could have handled that just as fine, had a little bit of Hugh Jackman in it like they did in the first one, but he came in and I'm like, this is not his film. This is not his movie. This movie is for these three. And I was disappointed. It is just one of those things where you go in with expectations, you come out like, well, that's not what I thought.
The only thing Bryan Singer's done that was good was Usual Suspects, and it was because it was script by Christopher McQuarrie, not him.
I liked Bryan Singer's first two X-Men. I liked the first two X-Men a lot.
It's only good because you never
no pun intended on that.
So my next one, my runner-up is Interstellar. Which
you're gonna put that?
What? It's just
for my top 10.
It's just for me again. It's a film that I go back to what I said earlier. It's a film that the script was too sloppy for me. Where it was all over the map. You're really enjoying the story. It's visually beautiful. I'm not discounting how gorgeous that movie is and what Christopher Nolan did
as a visual storyteller, but as an actual storyteller. That script had been floating around for 12 years, and that's what you made out of it. It was awful.
Crazy.
Did any of y'all read the comparison between what Spielberg's script was going to look like compared to what this final movie became?
No.
Because if you look at that, A, they take away a huge impact. The Chinese were the whole story plotline. They get out to space first. There's a whole concept that Spielberg had when he had Jonathan Nolan. I have a theory about this. Christopher Nolan's gone insane, and he thinks he's better than he really is.
I agree.
He's gotten to the point now where he just makes shit. He flat out took the audio out of this movie.
And then
so
he was like,
couldn't understand what Michael Caine was saying.
I think that was intentional.
What the
fuck? It was intentional. That's horrible.
It was intentional.
It was. And he came out.
He talked about it.
Favorite part was he was like, well, filmmakers use sound to really like punch up the emotional gravity of something. So I decided what I was going to do was play with the sound. And it's like, no. Part of telling a story is actually have. I know, I'm bringing out Susan's finger on this one. It's like, part of a storytelling is actually telling a story that we can hear and that you're not going, wait, am I going deaf? Am I losing it? Am I going...
And how is the bookcase up? Come on!
So,
but at the same time, though, it should be... You should be able to watch a movie and know what they're talking about without words.
Agreed. I agree on
visually,
that.
Visually, it's got to be engaging.
I'm supposed to understand a movie that's about wormholes and black holes and shit?
No, I didn't.
You're
right.
Not.
Well, and that was, and then going back to that, that was another issue that I had where at moments, the heart of the story, which is about a father getting back to his daughter, on either side, you know, Michael Caine trying to get back to his daughter, Matthew McConaughey trying to get back to his daughter. That was the heart of that story, which is why it would have been interesting to see Spielberg do it, because he does those stories so well. Was completely lost when they would have to stop the film and explain 3 or 4 times what was happening. And I'm like, no. Like, the science is cool, the visual is cool, but I'm not here for you to tell me how a wormhole works, and then tell me how a wormhole works, and then tell me how a wormhole works.
Well, I think that's the problem, too, though, is the fact that you have all these people that are like, oh, this isn't scientifically accurate.
It's a movie.
It's not supposed to be. So there's all this...
We can't travel through black holes. We don't know.
Can you explain to me how when they get back up to the ship, there's the other guy that's been there
for 29 years.
And his response is,
I was hoping he was going to have like a long crazy man beard and like just gone insane, but they didn't go.
He should
far.
Have been an expert in black holes by the time we got back.
Well, there's like parts of it that were just so interesting and such interesting character stuff, and then there was parts where I'm just like, I'm out. Like when we're stuck inside of the Harry Potter sort of the Tesseract thing, I was like, I'm going to go insane.
It's his representation of
shitty representation.
Five dimensions, fifth dimension.
Yeah, I just
bookcases.
I was. It's just
boring. That scene was.
Wow, when was broken?
No, that broke me. That was your like you. The next day you were like mad, so mad. And then I tried to like somebody was trying to talk to me, and I had to like walk away. I was like, I'm just angry. Like I don't want to give 3 hours of my time.
That's his favorite movie of the year, y'all.
No.
That's crazy.
No,
that's what got me, though. The thing that got me on that whole thing was Anne Hathaway being like, no, we gotta go to this planet, that's my boyfriend.
She was terrible in the movie.
And then when she had that story of love, I was like, I'm gonna fucking kill her.
Yeah.
But then you have these amazing emotional moments, like when he comes back.
Him, like, they see each other and he's getting ready to get shot into like the black hole.
Or even when he gets back and he's watching all the tapes and he's watching his family fall apart.
There's so many good moments in there. That's why I was like, Transcendence was worse.
I didn't see Transcendence. So my final film, because we had a moment where Susan was broken by film this year. I had my first of walking out of a film. I've never walked out of a movie in my entire life.
I
walked out of the Karen Gillan or Gillan?
Gillan.
Oculus.
So
I don't know how it ends. Couldn't quite tell you what happened in it. Apparently, there's a mirror and time things and family. I don't know. It was
awful.
You don't
like her, right?
I think she is wooden. She is as wooden as this table. And she is so funny in real life. And I'm like, please put her in comedy. And they tried to put her in comedy, still wouldn't. She's just cute, and all she does is react. And I can't. Ugh. Hated it. Yeah.
So this Oculus is the movie that that broke Gwen. If you're looking to buy Gwen a Christmas present, buy her the Blu-ray.
Which is
Oculus.
Funny because of how angry I got about Interstellar. You think that was the movie that broke me, but I was already broken this year.
But this is how mad you were that you don't even need to go. You left.
Fuck, I'm out.
I was like, I'm too old to sit through shitty films at midnight. I already don't like to watch midnight movies.
You're time limited. You're in your 60s.
I am.
I'm old. All right. That's a good list. Adam Conway, worst five.
Well, a couple of them already said, but we'll see. Number five on the list is The Giver.
Yeah. I agree.
God awful.
It was pretty bad.
It was medium for me.
I don't know what Mr. Jeff Bridges was thinking.
Put all the cotton in his mouth.
That girl's sweet. Yeah. What was she doing?
That kid is fucking adorable.
Oh.
He's so dumb. In real
so
life.
So
awesome interviews.
We talked about surfing.
Of course.
Yeah,
I'm in a movie? What?
The kid was just...
His idol is John Mayer, just so you know.
Oh, God.
I'm just like John Mayer.
I'm dead serious.
Yeah, he was wearing a John Mayer hat.
He's like, can I leave this hat on for the whole interview? Because
Well, poor Ben Fleet.
Because
they're young, they don't know any better.
Then number four is Sin City 2.
It's ridiculous.
Terrible.
I liked it.
I didn't like
it
too.
I liked it.
I think Sin City is a solid okay.
Solid. I don't need to put it on my worst list. There's so much worse.
Since I didn't like it, what was it? The story?
Yeah, the lack of story. Yeah. There was no story whatsoever.
What are you talking about?
Should have been more important.
The father's son revenge.
That was a horrible story.
She looked great.
Joseph Lemon's was the best, but that ending for it was
still
that
terrible.
No,
it was a waste. It ended up being a whole waste of time.
Yeah.
Okay. Alright.
All right.
Number three is Winter's Tale by Akiva Goldsman's movie. Worst piece of crap.
Let's just say that Will Smith is a bad guy in that movie.
Oh, he's the devil. Oh, yeah.
Oh, you see.
Akiva wrote all his movies, basically. And he decided to direct this piece of crap and got every actor he could think of to try to be in it. Russell Crowe, worst acting ever. I don't know what that accent is.
Man of Steel. It's
pretty shitty. Yeah, don't forget Man of Steel, guys. Did that come out this year? Can we put that back on our list?
And I like Colin
Farrell.
I went in thinking, it's Colin Farrell, but I'll probably like it. No.
He was terrible.
I love Colin Farrell.
He phoned it in.
Yeah.
I can't wait to see him on True Detective.
Yeah.
And then my number two was Mood Indigo, which we talked about. It's... Oh.
I want to see this movie.
I know.
If you have sleep troubles, watch this movie.
What's your answer?
Three really bad putting it on my list.
My number one was already said as well. You Are Here. It is definitely
that was the worst.
Definitely.
So I think You Are Here and Mood Indigo are the top ones. So that was our worst list, guys. Let us know on Facebook or iTunes or not iTunes, Twitter. Listen to us on iTunes, Facebook or Twitter. What your worst was, but as you could tell over the last 45 minutes, these movies really made us unhappy.
Guys, can I just read the plot of Mood Indigo to you?
Sure.
There was a plot.
Wealthy, innovative bachelor Colin endeavors. I'm already out. To find a cure for his lover, Chloe, after she's diagnosed with an unusual illness caused by a flower growing in her lungs.
Oh.
Guys, that sounds...
Wait, what?
Awesome. Now he fell asleep during it, so he doesn't know.
And we watched that.
So that's the worst movie of the year.
That's the worst movie.
That's pretty bad.
All right, see, any of that shit.
So since we just said what we hated, we're going to do the movies we loved. We're going to do the top 10 movies we loved. I saw a lot of movies this year. I narrowed it down to 22 and I picked 10, which was fairly difficult to do out of the 140 something I saw. So I'll start with my top 10. Number 10 is Joe with Nick Cage.
Oh, good pick.
Joe is an excellent fucking
film. Does that count as 2014?
It was.
Okay.
Joe.
Get back.
Number 9 was a film I saw first at Dallas International Film Festival, and it was The One I Love. I fucking love that movie.
Good movie.
Number 8 was The Raid 2. Damn, that fucking movie was good. Number 7 was Guardians of the Galaxy. Perfect. Number six was the Grand Budapest Hotel.
That's only six.
Yep.
Number one.
Number five was Nightcrawler. Yeah. Number four was Boyhood. Number three was Birdman. Yeah. Number two was The Babadook. And number one was Whiplash.
Oh, good. Hey, Brian.
I like that.
Good job, sir.
And I just want to say my two honorable mentions were John Wick, because I fucking
that
loved it.
Why did John Wick make your list?
It was basically number 11.
Oh, okay.
And then a movie that I saw this year but comes out next year is Everly by Joe. Oh shit, what's his name?
Lynch.
Which one? Everly?
Everly.
Everly.
It's excellent. But yeah, but the top three, Birdman, Babadook, and Whiplash. I was. Babadook had to make it in there because it's literally amazing fucking filming. Acting, direction, everything. So, yeah, go. Top 10.
Okay, let's see. Number 10 for me was Dawn of the Planet of the Apes. I like
that. Yeah, that's good.
Awesome.
Bug is losing her mind.
She heard the Babadook thing and she got scared.
Oh my god, I love that movie too.
It's the Babadook.
I have a tie for like two documentaries at number 9, Jodorowsky's Dune and then Electric Boogaloo, the story of Canon Films.
Yeah.
Both documentaries are awesome. You should check them out if you haven't.
Jodorowsky, director, was awesome.
He's on my best interview list.
Then number 9, I have Interstellar.
Wow.
Yeah.
Best movie. Fuck you, Gwen.
I know.
I'll stand by that movie. Shit. We'll talk about this in 10 years. See which one's a classic still.
Then I had two indie movies, tied at number 8, Obvious Child. And then one a lot of people didn't see, Grand Seduction with Brendan Gleeson. Was actually really good and funny, if you haven't seen it. I'm sure everyone hasn't. No one has. So.
Just Adam.
Just me. Then I have Guardians of the Galaxy. Woo-hoo. At number 7. Awesome movie. I could be pretty much anywhere in my list. Then I have Tom Cruise's Edge of Tomorrow.
I need to see that.
It was surprisingly good.
It was good.
I liked it. Good story.
I like when that happens, when you go into a movie not expecting anything. And you're like, this was really good.
Because the director actually did a lot of practical stuff, to make it.
See? Makes it good. You'll come back to it 10 years from now and be like, that was really good.
And it'll probably stand up,
Gravity already looks old.
Yeah.
It does.
Then I have at number 5, or number 4, sorry, Chef. With Mr.
Chef
John
Paul.
Chef was so good. I forgot about Chef.
Shit.
Yeah.
I liked it. It's not in the top, but
it's a good movie.
It's a good movie. It's rewatchable. So number 3 is Imitation Game.
Oh, yeah. Huh? I liked Imitation Game.
Sorry.
That's fine.
This is hard, okay? Number 2 is Birdman. Performance was so awesome. I guess Edward Norton was awesome as the foil to Mr. Keaton. And the cinematography was badass. So.
That scene with Emma Stone when she yells at him when you see it register on her face.
Oh, yeah.
That's still like one of the best.
I think she's the best supporting actress this year.
That little scene in the bed was like,
what a horror movie.
Yeah.
And then my number 1 is Grand Budapest Hotel. So.
Did you see Whiplash?
I have not seen Whiplash. So.
Yeah.
But Grand Budapest.
I have some 20 movies that are probably in my top 10 list after I watched it.
It's just like,
Budapest.
He does so much stuff with that movie. It's just ridiculous.
Yes. With all the actors in it.
Yeah.
And it was fun to see him return to adult fare.
Yeah.
And it be like adult. Like,
that's how people die in the
titties and killing.
Yeah. Well, Grand Budapest, I felt like it was really adult in the same way that Bottle Rocket is really adult.
Yeah.
So it was nice to see him go back to
it. It was good.
And Ralph Fiennes, I don't think he's going to get nominated, but he should.
He got a Golden Globe nomination.
Awesome.
It's a good one.
But yeah, I doubt.
Did he get a SAG nomination?
No.
And I doubt he'll get it for all.
Which was shocking. How do you get
yours? Well, with Golden Globes, they have more options because you can have 10.
Yeah.
All right, Gwen, top 10.
All right, mine's still a little soft because just there's still things to
see.
But I know what my number 1 and my 2 are for sure. So I'm just going to go down my list. Guardians of the Galaxy. Is obviously mentioned that one a few times. I also really loved How to Train Your Dragon.
It's a good one.
Really sweet, very moving. Again, it pulls at my heartstrings. It's a family story. So anytime there's like
There was some good Gilligan movies this year.
Yeah, so many good ones. One that Susan and I agree about, and you as well, Obvious Child, is on my list. Yeah. I have not been able to stop thinking about that movie all year.
I watch it all the time.
A surprise one that I didn't really care for. I wasn't quite sure how I felt about it when I saw it, but now I've been thinking about it a lot more and really appreciative of it. It was Under the Skin with Scarlett Johansson. It's one of those movies that I just really enjoyed, and I think it did something that I hadn't seen in a movie in a really long time, so I was really happy about that. It blew my mind.
The score is amazing.
I just want to say why I know why Gwen likes that movie, because in the end of this movie, the rapist saves the world.
It's true, and then the rapee gets burned to a crisp. Correct. I mean, it's just like there's nothing better. Nothing better than victim burning.
What happened to the creepy little mongoloid kid or whatever?
He got out. She saved him. That's when she decided that she was going to embrace more humanity, and she started to have like empathy and emotions, and I love that. Another one that I don't know if it counts, but I'm going to put it on there just because the performances alone is A Most Violent Year, because Jessica Chastain's boobs are so good.
I really like that movie. Yeah. It's just one of those movies. I mean, I thought about it recently because we all kind of saw it together. Yeah, we're all like, okay.
But to me, it's like, it did what I wanted American Hustle to do last year, which was, it was a little bit darker of an American Hustle sort of story.
Yeah, I told you, this is like an American.
She's bonkers. She's good in that movie. She's so, so good.
She doesn't back down once. No. It's amazing.
And I put it on because I enjoyed her performance so much. And also, Alexandra Navarro.
Daddario?
Not Daddario. Is it Navarro? What's his name? The one that's married to Emily Watson. The guy that played the rich mobster that had the tennis court in his backyard, in his house. Alessandro something.
Yeah.
His performance was so good. It's a performance film. It's not a story or...
I love that movie.
Usually it's great, too.
Yeah. Let's see. Birdman is another one that I loved from the moment on. It's so good. I'm still quoting it. Whiplash, also really, really good. Now we're down to... I think we're down to my number two is Dom Hemingway. For sure.
Gwen and I bonded over this movie, and we have floated it ever since.
So Dom Hemingway is for sure on my list, my number two. And then my number one, I know no one's surprised, is Only Lovers Left Alive. I just love that.
Bullshit vampire movie.
It's so good. So, yeah, mine's a little all over the place, but... I'm just happy. I'm happy more than one person picked Guardians of the Galaxy. I'm going to win.
Well, all three of us have so far. Yeah. All right. Susan, I'm pretty sure I know your number one already, but I'll let you say it. It was your top 10 best movies.
Okay. Well, the number 10 is Joe.
Yay!
You slipped that one in there, huh?
Well, it was originally on there, and then I looked it up, and it said 2013. I was like, oh, no. And I thought
it was 2014.
That's what I thought. Joe. That movie is excellent. Like, it could be higher. Let's just rephrase. This is a rough draft of my top 10.
Okay.
It'll be officialized later.
Officialized?
Yes.
Is that a word?
Whatever. Anyway, number 9 is The Fault in Our Stars. I liked it. It was a very sweet romance.
I cried so hard.
I cried a lot. Okay. And I like love stories where they have, like...
Where they die? Because I do too.
No. Where it's like a genuine... the way they met, the way they got together. It wasn't, like, stupid. It was just, like, it was realistic. I like realistic love stories.
And genuine.
Genuine is the perfect word for it. Mm-hmm. Number 8 is Neighbors. Neighbors is, like...
It was funny.
It was...
Not top 10, though.
One of the movies this year that actually had me crying laughing.
That's so funny, because that almost made my not favorite list.
Oh my god.
But it was a solid okay for me. Yeah. I like that. It was a solid okay.
I had 22 Jump Street, like, in number 12, so...
Well... number 7 is The Grand Budapest Hotel.
Yay.
Number 6 is Gone Girl.
Oh, good pick. Yeah, I love Gone Girl.
I really like it.
I like Gone Girl.
Yeah, it's so good.
That's the first time it's popped up here.
Well, I hope it gets nominated for an Oscar. I don't say it has to win, but I think it deserves it.
The cinematography of that movie is so good.
And then the story, I didn't read the book, so for me, the story was a complete shocker. I had no idea what was going to happen. So, yeah, great, great. Number 5 is Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yay!
That's 4.
Are the Oscars listening?
Yeah,
it's not going to happen, guys. Yeah. But, yeah.
But it was. It's like the best superhero movie this year for sure. Number four, Boyhood.
Really?
It's funny to see Boyhood. Yeah, it's really good. Number three, I'm surprised nobody, none of you guys, the Guest.
I forgot about The Guest.
The Guest was in my top 20, and I had to exit out. I didn't want to, but
man,
I did.
Oh my God. I learned so much about myself watching that movie.
The soundtrack of the year right there.
Soundtrack, acting, like
cinematography,
best abs, best eyes, best Dan Stevens.
He was a fun interview.
But it was a fun interview. But even regardless of how hot he was, like, that story, that movie, it was just awesome.
It was good. So funny.
I'm glad that's on your list.
Yeah. Oh, I love it. Number two, Whiplash.
Yes. We know you're number one. So.
Yes. And number one is Oscar's Child.
Yay!
Yeah. You haven't watched it. I was so.
It's okay, not going to make my top two.
True story. I was disappointed. I was.
It's a nice Jewish girl.
I went to some place with a like there was rolls and butter, and I was kind of like slipping my butter towards the cliff, and I was like, "There's like, some more of it for me."
You're not supposed to tell them.
I'm slipping my butter towards them.
But good lips. I like some of your. I'm glad the guests. I might like good lips.
I can believe those.
All right, Andrew Conway, best of lips. Top 10.
Best of.
Hard. I do not see a lot of movies this year, so my best of list is probably kind of funny, but
we're laughing. Don't be shy.
Should be laughing.
But that's fine. That's what this is.
This is probably a change. There's a lot of stuff I haven't seen. But number 10, Big Hero 6.
Oh, great movie.
That was the best part.
And can that be included with Feast right before it? Like That's like the best short ever. Winston's cute. You can buy a Winston. You can get a little Winston doll that Disney store.
And then the next one, This Is Where I Leave You.
I remember you
like that. I really like that.
I really like that.
Yeah. And you're not even Jewish. That's what we do. We should say Shiva. That was a really endearing and
funny movie. There was a lot of really good moments. A lot of good scenes, I thought. And Adam Driver.
They're all great in that movie.
Greatness. Jason Bateman. Yeah, I thought it was a great cast overall.
I liked I felt like that was movie therapy, the lessons and stuff. But it was good.
I enjoyed it. It was a good
play. Yeah. My next one is one that I thought was really cute. Had a cute message at the end. St. Vincent, Bill Murray.
I
know a lot of people like that.
I know. I don't understand, but I enjoyed it. I thought it was.
A lot of people were thinking he'll get an Oscar nomination.
I think he might. I thought he would.
They're a little
crazy. There's a lot of competition. That realm for sure.
The lawnmower.
So many better.
Yeah. Bill Murray's greatness. I don't think he can do any wrong, but we'll see. Yeah, Susan's about to pull her finger out.
I love Bill Murray.
Is it going to be Baloo in the Jungle Book?
It's the calm job finger.
It's the calm job finger.
It is.
So many better male lead performances that we deserve in the nomination.
This has been a really strong.
It's cool. So you like old people. It's cool.
I love Bill Murray. I've stated many times before that I would love to hug Bill Murray.
Just thought you were going somewhere different with it.
I would like to hug Bill Murray.
Hug is code, guys.
All right.
And then next would be Edge of Tomorrow.
Edge of Tomorrow?
Tom Cruise. You either hate him or love him.
So is it
impossible to hate Tom Cruise? You don't hate him in real life.
Yeah.
But then when you watch him in the movie, you're like,
he's just a great actor.
Okay. We wanted to let our listeners know that it might be called Live, Die, Repeat now.
Yeah.
It's been through a baker's dozen titles.
the original title is All You Need Is Kill.
All You Need Is Kill.
And that script was awesome.
I did hate the poster for it, though, because it did have, you could never tell what the name of that movie
was. Yeah, it was all over the place. Yeah, I liked the movie. It was really good.
And then my next one, several people are probably going to disagree with me, but I actually really liked Fury.
I'll tell you, Fury was excellent up until the last 8 minutes. It almost ruined
it. I had a really hard time with... I really enjoyed Fury. I thought what Fury did for the...
that ensemble system.
This is one of the first movies I actually liked. Mm-hmm. Shia LaBeouf.
He was good. He was very good in it.
What name of the
Holes.
Holes? Yeah. Name of the movie. Yeah.
But my problem with it was
the Even Stevens.
It never shied away from being violent. Oh, and then so when it came to the deaths of the men, could they never be more beautiful in death? I was like, that guy had his hat in his face
on the floor.
Super nice.
And then they're like, and you see Shia LaBeouf, and he's just like a little black on the face. I'm like, fuck you.
Super nice glove, like they show the red pistol, like
in his eye got shot out. My favorite scene in that movie is the lunch scene when they're all in the chick's house.
That's so good.
The tension you felt there was like,
yeah, it was so good.
That was
so
John Bernthal, who was in Walking Dead. Like, great. He's great.
I didn't mention the best part was, what's his face?
Brad Pitt.
Logan Lerman's eyes.
Logan Lerman was great. I mean,
he has great eyes.
He has great eyes.
That was a great
eyes. He does nothing for me. That's okay, though.
Person.
Michael, what's his
name? But he did a good job.
He was almost Spider-Man.
And yeah, he's from Dallas.
Yeah, Michael Pena.
That was a great little ensemble, I thought. He did a great job.
The ensemble was
so muddy.
I love that scene. Yeah. The actual scene at the end where they pull out and just slowly see how many people they actually killed.
I like that, but...
Such a cool little quote. But you didn't like the whole, like, they're all dying in this one.
Yeah. No, I didn't like that they didn't shoot them.
They didn't kill them.
That was bullshit.
Oh, that they got guard and kill me.
Yeah, it was completely stupid. Fucking
yeah,
it's like
why did you? Like, that was kind of stupid. It's like why did you just like
that? Almost ruined the whole movie for me.
Because in real life, because I feel like it, and maybe I'm just naive.
He gave him a smile.
I feel like in real life that wouldn't happen. Like no, unless they would have taken him as like a POW, but they wouldn't have. Let him live.
And they, like, the guy winked and smiled at him. Like, it was weird.
Yeah.
And maybe
they did.
I'm looking
for something. No, I looked at it as, like, he kind of saw someone similar to him because, like, Logan Lerman's character was totally...
That's what it was supposed to be.
Yeah, he would have done that. He would have let that person go. So, there's got to be one good person within that arm.
No, see, I don't believe that. Yeah. Because Logan has to change when he blows up that wall.
Yeah.
He becomes one of his men, and he starts to literally hate the Germans. He's had that change.
Yeah.
That wink from that guy seems so Hollywood.
Yeah.
Well, it's stupid. He should have just laid there. That would have made them more realistic. Like, him, like, faking...
Yeah, not to get up, but, like, just laying there and that... Yeah. Oh, I would believe that he wasn't seen, but, yeah.
That we had just seen something very similar. If you watch Breaking Bad, we had just seen something very similar to that same sort of tenuous moment of somebody getting caught under a car and being, like...
But with Jeff, I get you.
My number five, mentioned already, Guardians of the Galaxy. Greatness.
Everyone greatness. So far, good.
It was just, you know, everything you could expect from a Marvel movie. James Gunn, amazing.
Yes, agreed.
Favorite director.
Just, great greatness. Number four, mentioned also already, John Wick. He was, Keanu Reeves.
It was Return of an Awesome.
It was
Return of Keanu Reeves.
I can't watch that movie though, guys. I'm so scared to watch it because it's a dog.
It's heartbreaking. It actually pulls you into the movie.
Can I like fast forward?
No, you gotta see it because you'll realize how.
When you
why
see
he does
that,
it.
You're just like, go kill everyone.
Yeah, exactly. It's the
you
point.
You hate that you feel.
Because
he
shows
you
no mercy.
You know I can't say animal death, especially dogs, but like that was the worst I think I've seen. Worse than anything.
It was very sad.
I would say there was Loki, and I'd just be like, I think it'd be really tough on one. I really
Keanu,
like I have to sit, like, in Wild, I was like this in the movie, going, no.
He's fully redeemed himself. Keanu is back.
He's always been back. What's your top three?
Number three, Dom Hanaway.
Yeah.
Oh, nice.
It was greatness. Just and then watching with the director and him giving us like his little tidbits, it just made
that was good.
Yeah, it was greatness. Number two, I've already mentioned you, Chef.
All right, good.
It was
it's a good feel good movie.
It's a good movie for sure. And Jon Favreau just. He's redeeming himself, in my opinion, from having been stuck on Iron Man and getting to do what he does best.
Iron Man 2 is
a story. He hasn't been able to tell a story in the last, unfortunately, in the last few few years because he's been stuck on these big budget movies, and I'm glad he's got to return to something that he does best. Like, you know, he's a great writer.
I mean, he's doing Jungle Book next, though.
That's unfortunate. I'm out on that already. And then number one, Birdman. My feet was granted, but you know,
you didn't have Grand Budapest in your top 10 at all.
I never did.
See it.
You haven't seen Boyhood, haven't seen Nightcrawler, haven't seen Theory of Everything, haven't seen Imitation Game.
Theory of Everything should not be on any.
A bunch of but ouch. It wasn't necessarily Michael Caine for me. It was Edward Norton. I like the Edward Norton and Emma Stone.
Yeah,
they were greatest. Even Zach Galifianakis for being, you know, undertone. Like he wasn't Zach Galifianakis. He really pulled it back, and I like that.
Well, and that's what I think is so great about Birdman is that Michael Keaton is respectful. I mean, I don't even know if it's Michael Keaton or the director or whatever, but Michael Keaton really is respectful enough to play with his other.
With his co-stars,
and let them shine just as much.
Yeah. The whole thing that they did, you know, the whole like long take thing, that didn't take me away from it, and I don't think it really added anything.
Yeah.
But it was a great little thing to do. They tried with it. It was greatness. But I feel like just the performances would have been good with or without that whole motif.
Yeah. Well, I just want to say before we move on to Gotti's top 10, I was like, for somebody who didn't see a lot of those movies, that's a pretty fucking good list.
Yeah, it's a really good list.
I'm glad you had Big Hero 6.
Yeah. Me too.
Very underrated movie.
Wow. All right, Gotti, top 10. Our resident pessimist is his favorite movies of the year. I'm excited.
Top 20, Guardians made it, but it didn't make my top
20.
Get out! It's because the beginning is so corny.
Gotti hates America.
Star Lord is great. Everyone's great. 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 Star L
Harley.
He's second.
And I need that Drax? Guy's legs.
So I need Michael Rooker to start.
Yeah, Michael Rooker is hilarious.
Groot is not.
You made my top like 20, y'all. It's like 12.
No, yeah. No more donuts for you,
oh,
guys.
That
is not good enough.
Let's see what you have on this list.
My number 10 happened to be one that you liked a lot, was Babadook. I watched this movie at midnight, right before the streamer was going to collapse, and it scared the living shit out of me that night. That little kid is flawless. That girl screaming.
The woman is flawless.
The woman's flawless.
Her, she is awesome. And I love the ending, how it makes you realize that it's a much deeper thought about what she was going for. And it made me respect the director. I sadly didn't get to interview her, but that ending made me think this is a much more intelligent film than people are giving,
100%.
You know, horror films. This is by far the best horror film of the year.
Yeah.
In a fucking 30 minutes.
Followed closely by The Guest.
The Guest wasn't horror. I
didn't fucking I think that is a horror film.
Like, I thought it was a happy film.
So no, it's Friday night. Horror films are my favorite.
Number 9 was a World War II theme. I love Fury. And I went into it thinking I was going to hate it because I really didn't like the visual style that that David Ayers had with End of Watch.
Yeah, I liked End of Watch.
I liked the movie. I hated his handheld.
Yeah, the
handheld. I thought he was going to make this a handheld movie. Cinematography in this movie was flawless.
It was good.
The speed of the tanks.
Yeah, the tank battle.
The shots of the guns would freak me the hell out. It was amazing. The mud.
And how gritty it was.
Like, yeah.
It was so violent.
Like, visually, it was a war film. And the ending was the only thing I didn't really like, because I agree, he should have died. You don't need him to survive. Or he should have just sat by side.
Yeah.
It should have been better. He's in the mud. Tied with that was Imitation Game. I don't actually think it's as good as people are saying. The reason why I really do like it is Mark Strong is flawless. And
everybody's
he
flawless. Beyonce's here.
Fuck you. But Mark Strong is such an underrated actor. I can't believe his show got canceled on AMC. Like,
well, you and I were talking about this the other night that Mark Strong was in Imitation Game, it was just like he just stole everything.
He's such an underrated actor. He's so like manly
and
intelligent.
And he can keep up, he is super manly, but he can keep up with Benedict Cumberbatch, who I think is
He's the only one in the movie that keeps up with Cumberbatch. Yeah, Keira Knightley slightly, but Cumberbatch, he knows it's his movie. I hated, like y'all, the throw on the gay anthem. I wanted that entire movie.
Yeah.
Show us having him with that kid that gets caught, and you have me hooked.
Yeah. Yeah.
The fact you hide it, and you make it a war film, and you don't make it a film that's like Pride, which I think threw it out there in your face and said, here's what we are. I thought it was cheesy. And
yeah.
I felt sad because it's like, it's such a horrible story for this guy's life to end that way. And you make it a cheesy Hollywood.
And it's like two,
for the gays,
and it's like two different stories. You know,
yeah,
like one is, because, you know, having him be vilified and having the issue, because we hit those notes the entire time with his team didn't care for him.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody really understood him. He was really trying hard. He was this tortured genius. But then there were people that loved him at the end. And then it was fine, like, how it wrapped up with then adding that little title card on there. I was like, get out of here. This is so... Like, you could have even just kept it with all of them except for the one that was, like... 500,000. I was like, no. The title card is what ruined it.
It made him being gay like a secondary note.
Yeah.
That's his whole damn life. The only person he's ever cared for is a kid who died before he could ever love him.
Mm-hmm.
That's the story. And it never ended with it.
Yeah.
So I didn't understand that. Number 8, I think it's a movie that the ending, I think, is what caused people to like it because it was too gruesome, but I loved Calvary.
I love Calvary.
Yeah,
that was in my top 20.
It's probably the best written script. It's really intelligent. It goes through all of the elements of grief in order.
We see it
in Gleason. Every scene he's in is amazing. Not flawless, but amazing. But I really think when they show the deaths and they show the gunshot, it really freaks people out.
I like that they
follow
through with it.
Yeah, because the first scene is literally
going
to
die,
yeah.
But I think that's scary to American audiences because it's such a.
Yeah.
I'm an Irish writer. Someone's got a fucking.
It's blatant.
Yeah.
Well, you never know because you could be. Like, there are moments where I was thinking, like, are they just going to say like, who's going to do it? And then he's going to change his mind, like make him soft or something. And I like the.
Is it?
Weather alert.
I want to see it to die. Yeah.
It's
a really good movie, and it like showing Ireland. It's great.
Yeah, I love it.
I love
it.
What
do you got next, guy?
Number 7 was a tie because I think its two performances are better than the actual whole of the movie. But Gone Girl, I love her. I think she's flawless.
Super Gone Girl.
She's my favorite. She's so good.
I didn't like anyone else in the movie, but I think she
carried that movie. I agree.
She's amazing.
Well, and it's unfortunate because I wanted to love Ben Affleck so much in that, and I was like, you are just an idiot. And the character in the book is just as maniacal and conniving as she is.
I didn't get his dark nature.
You didn't get it at all.
You
don't get it at all in the movie.
The other tie of this is Nightcrawler. I think Jake Gyllenhaal is really creepy as shit. And I love that for my birthday.
Gyllenhaal.
He said Gyllenhaal.
Whatever. Fuck y'all. He's flawless.
He's whatever. I just appreciated it more when Susan, on my birthday, gave me that little throwback picture. He's creepy.
He is so creepy. That's my favorite.
But
what happened to him? Yeah, I think he's one of the best.
Really not Miles Teller?
It's Jake Gyllenhaal's performance by far. He's
the
creepiest. Like, he does a phenomenal job. It's not my favorite movie, but that performance.
And he had two great movies this year, Enemy and
Enemy was underrated.
Did he come out this year?
Wow.
What do you got next, Gods?
Number 6, Gods, is it's a documentary. I don't know if any of y'all saw it. It's called Kids for Cash.
Yeah.
And it's about the...
Is it about the porn industry?
You talked about it before, though.
Yeah. I got to interview the director twice because I love this movie so much. It's about a judge who put away kids to juvenile programs and eventually jail for the simplest and smallest of things, like stealing a candy bar or supposedly writing something negative on MySpace. A girl was put in jail for 4 years. One kid committed suicide after going to jail. And you hear these horrific stories. They all take place in Pennsylvania where the director lived, not too far from there. He's worked with Steve James, who's my favorite documentary filmmaker. And so I was immediately hooked on that, and I went and saw the movie, couldn't stop crying, had to talk to this guy. When I talked to him, I was amazed at just the other stories he left out of the movie. And it's one of those films that it's been seen by all the heads of government for, like, the Defense Department's seen it now, and the president's the only one that hasn't, and he's going to see it. It's
called Kids for Cash?
Kids for Cash. Really great.
I want to see that.
Couldn't stop. It's so emotional.
All right.
Number five is Birdman.
Sweet.
I won't talk about it because y'all already talked about all the great acting. Visually, that's the best DP going. Chivo, Manuel,
yeah, it's really good.
Children is the greatest DP of the last couple of decades. He's right there with Roger. I think he's a little bit better than Roger because he's bolder. And the reason why he's bolder is because he'll take a script like this and he'll turn it into one shot with only five invisible cuts. It's amazing. They had to do this like a theatrical production.
Yeah.
And if you fuck up, you fuck up. Emma Stone would mess up so many times she'd get emotional because she's like, we have to start all over. I think that's, what a ballsy.
There's more than five cuts, but yeah.
Well, but they'll admit to. They won't say anymore. Number four, Whiplash.
Nice.
Best.
That last scene.
That last scene.
Best supporting actor is J.K. Simmons. J.K. Simmons is he's an asshole. And I love him. He's amazing.
What I love about that, too, is that Miles Teller, who I think is an actually, like, he's becoming a very surprisingly good actor.
He's good.
He was, again, smart enough to pull back and let, and play, like, totally straight and let JK shine.
Yeah.
And I loved that.
That was good.
Let's talk about Miles. You don't just pick up the drums and do what he did on the screen.
He played drums in, like, high school or middle school.
Doesn't matter. Yeah. That's some ballsy drumming.
He did good. Yeah.
That's great. Jazz drumming is not easy.
Did they have a drum stunt?
I'm sure.
No, he did all his own.
Well, you can see
that. They did all his
own. That's why they did so many long shots of him doing it, because he picked it up. That's
good.
That's
excellent. I wish he would get more recognition for it. I know he's just in a pool of, like, a big competitive pool, but he did a fantastic job.
I agree.
I think it's because it's such a reserved character. I mean, he's not reserved, but he doesn't go quite as tortured artist as JK does, that it really does feel like a smaller
JK kind of takes the movie.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
and you feel that.
He's the Mark Strong of that movie.
Yeah. Number three, Grand Budapest Hotel. I wish it just came out later in the year, and then it would be more love.
It seems
to be. I think it'll get nominated
pretty well. Wes Anderson always does this. He puts up new movies every year because he thinks they're going to be uplifting and fun for everyone in the family. And this one was, like you said, dark. It's about war. It's about death. And it might be corny at times, but it does seem like this is the most adult he's ever been, and it's his best.
And it's
like World War II film.
It's his best film he's made.
And yeah, it stands out.
I love Royal Tenenbaums.
Me too. That's my favorite.
That's my favorite
one.
Family film. Every time I watch Royal Tenenbaums, I cry at the end.
I just feel like this is the first movie where we get a complete Wes Anderson. There's not something missing.
Yeah, and it's like he had the right amount of budget. He had the right amount of support, and he could just go. And it wasn't. I've had a problem with him doing the kids' films, the last two, with Moonrise Kingdom and Fantastic Mr. Fox. I was like, I'm just happy to see him return to something.
I did like The Kid a lot.
Zero?
Yeah. Zero's a great kid character. He's adult when he had to be. Like that. Number two is Boyhood. Mm-hmm. Just ballsy.
Yeah.
Spielberg's got balls to do that. Yeah, how can you not love that? How can you not respect that? The fact that he allowed his script to mold to the character. Who has the guts to do that with a kid you meet once? I mean, it's just no one could ever make that movie again. If they try. The kid, his life molded perfectly for what you'd expect from a Linklater character. That kid picks up sports, it's not a good movie. It's not the same Linklater that we know. It's not a tortured artist. It doesn't showcase his smoking weed and his mother. I think she deserves an Oscar. Patricia Arquette. I think she's the only one that goes through the crazy emotional strain that she goes through. And it's a great movie. Number one movie. It's the best Holocaust themed movie I've seen. It's
Schindler's List.
Ida.
Ida is number one?
Holy shit.
I haven't seen
it. No one has showcased
out of nowhere
white better than this movie. It's the best snow sequences I've seen. And I think
it's black and white.
It's good. It's like 80 minutes long too.
It's not a long. Yeah, I agree. It's quick, but it feels it impacts you. I saw
cinematography
it three times.
Yeah.
I couldn't stop getting over two scenes in it.
It's available on Amazon Prime. You can watch it today.
Watch it today because it's amazing. There's a woman in it who plays a judge, and she's a very powerful, strong-willed character in a country filled with men who are just overpowering. And she gives it back to him. She's also a little bit of a whore, and she hates herself. You can feel it. You don't understand why until we get to a very slight moment where she has one line she reveals, and they had a boy with them. She doesn't say it's his son or her son. She just says they had a boy with her. And then you realize what she's talking about and who all died when the Nazis came to this farmhouse. And it makes the whole story all the more amazing for her character. And she's not even the lead. One of the nun stories, her. Like, the nun story in itself is a fascinating story. The nun finding out you're Jewish, finding out not only that, but you find out that your family's been slaughtered. I mean, it's amazing how in these simple dialogue sequences you capture.
Thanks for ruining it.
If you haven't seen it, you go see it and you won't be. I mean, it's powerful even if you know what's going on.
Man, Ida, number one.
Love that movie. Cinematography.
Oh, Cinematography's amazing.
You know who's Bobby Schroeder?
I.
The Moogas.
All right. Thank you so much.
So,
make my top 20.
That's our best of the year for films. Quickly now, since we're about an hour and 24 minutes into this podcast. We're going to go around the table quickly now, doing our best of other categories and just read them off.
Cool.
Yeah.
I'll start off. The best interviews I did were Kevin Smith, John Turturro, Joe Lynch, and Frank Pavich. Kevin Smith for Tusk. It was awesome to find out his favorite movie. I got John Turturro to do The Jesus from Big Lebowski. It was awesome.
That was great. That was
and Frank Pavich from Jodorowsky's Dune was just awesome to talk to. The best albums of the year, I think, were Jack White's Lazaretto, Forrest Gump soundtrack, The American Hustle soundtrack, and Tom Petty's Hypnotic Eye.
Jack Black did...
I said Jack White, right?
No.
You said Jack Black.
I meant Jack White.
Yeah.
Jack White's album last year was better. Sorry.
I like Lazaretto. and I think the best TV shows, I thought the first episode of American Horror Story Freak Show was excellent. I thought all of Fargo was amazing. The big battle of Game of Thrones and the last few episodes of The Strain. And I thought the best Blu-rays of the year were the Kubrick set, the Twin Peaks set, the Guardians of the Galaxy, Gravity, True Detective, Sopranos, Game of Thrones, Hard Day's Night, and Big Chill Criterion.
Awesome.
Those are my best of.
Alright.
My best of. Let me go.
Whoever wants to go.
My best new shows for this year, I have Silicon Valley, You're the Worst, Fargo, Last Sleep Tonight with John Oliver, Flash, and True Detective.
Nice.
Yeah. You're the Worst, which came out in the summer, and it was
great.
Surprising.
Wasn't good for the first few episodes, and then it left. Whatever.
It
got so
good.
I hated the first episode. I hated the first three episodes.
For what?
For You're the Worst, but I...
And I have a... Yeah, and then for the best Blu-rays, the Dawn of the Planet of the Apes Caesar Bus Edition. Awesome.
Yeah, that's pretty awesome.
Then also, 20 Jump Street has so many extras on it. You should check it out. Wonder Years finally came out
on
DVD.
Not Blu-ray.
I know.
It's in a locker.
Herzog, all of his movies are now together. You love him.
Werner Herzog.
And then also, Sherlock had an awesome limited edition box set with some busts of them and some artwork along with the season.
Nice.
And I have albums. I just had The Lost Tapes.
That's good.
Also, Ed Sheeran's album. Were my two top albums of the year.
Sweet.
And I had also Saga was the best graphic novel of the year.
Cool.
Nice.
Yeah. All right. Gwen?
So my favorite interview of the year was... I'm going to have to say Dan Stevens, because we had so much fun, and I got to call him handsome. And he sort of blushed, so that was...
From the guest.
He was so good.
So handsome. Nice time right next to him, and I was like, don't care. My favorite TV show... It's funny, because I'm still thinking about this, because I have to write my TV show stuff up soon. But I love True Detective. I think that show did such amazing things for TV this year, even though it kind of
Peter, I feel like the trend of this year of losing a lot of shows, losing a lot of my imaginary friends, things have not been able to sustain and close off nicely as much as I've wanted. So
yeah.
Same thing.
Like
I had
Fargo.
Fargo had an issue with that. Sons of Anarchy, I think, had a very big issue with closing off nicely, even though it presented itself with a very pretty package, and then it was like, but still very hard to say goodbye to a lot of my imaginary friends. Also, I've been very surprised with the Mindy Project this year. Has really
been
so
awesome.
Yeah. And we're losing Adam Pauly, which I'm kind of sad about, but I think...
And he's getting his own show.
He's getting his own show. But that show has really pulled itself out. And it's really going in the direction of a really nice romantic comedy, which I think TV's... And I'm also...
It was her, like, intention.
And I'm surprised that I also really love Marry Me. That show's really come out of nowhere to be something I love.
What's the situation party now?
Yes, and Casey Wilson, who I'm not super. I like her, but I don't like
she
her.
She can
at the
be,
same time.
Yeah.
Wilson is a
touch
of the writer.
Yeah,
and
David
he did Happy Ending, so yeah.
And then another thing that I have also really loved that I'm just going to throw out as one of my best ofs is the even though we're on a podcast and I love you guys very much, but the podcast Serial has been one of the best things in my life. Like that's my favorite
the
story
two podcasts
TV show
you should
movie
listen to
of the entire year: Multimedia Men and Serial.
Yes,
who's on Serial?
It's just a. It's a true crime. It's Sarah Gilligan.
Okay.
So she's a producer on This American Life, which is not something I really like, but
that's
I
really good.
That's
cool.
It for me.
All right, Susan.
Okay, I'm here. But my favorite interviews would be Martha Kloss, The Fault in Our Stars cast. What is it? Paul.
Ansel didn't come down.
I know. I wish he did, but I the other three were awesome, so it's okay. But yeah, Aaron Paul. Jenny Slate for Obvious Child, and then Miles Teller and Jai Courtney for Divergent. They were all those people, just like, I hope to see them all again because they were just a blast interview. I don't know really much. Okay, show wise, I like Gotham.
Mm-hmm.
Gotham's good. I know you guys don't like it, but
I like Gotham.
I'm going to second the Mindy thing. I think the best show, like, one show this year that I cannot wait to watch every week is Mindy Project. It's very rare that a show gets better every season.
Mm-hmm.
It's usually it was awesome for a season and then just is, or it had like a meh
first season
and amazing
season.
Second
I
season.
The first season.
So when I came on, hit the
yeah.
right
and when they got rid of a lot of the dead
fluff.
Weight,
yeah,
they did. You can tell the dead weight. They figured out their direction. They figure out like a goal.
Yeah.
And this third season is just so good. And then also rarely when you get the two stars together is that good.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the show's better with them together. And then. I don't know. Just an awesome thing is just this year is being a part of this podcast.
Oh. Yeah.
Oh,
we're happy to have you.
So, that's all I can think of.
Very nice of you. We have to cut some dead weight too.
You're going to be our Betsy.
Or what's
I'm
the
sorry.
Other one that like from first season?
Oh, Gwen.
Yeah.
The Anna Camp.
Or her. Yeah, that was horrible. Her
yeah.
best friend is just.
Alright, Andrew.
Let's see. Something I really liked this year was a lot of fun for us. Fantastic Fest was a good time.
Awesome.
Got to see some really cool movies. Got to see Horns. I saw Everly.
I like
Everly was great. Like the interviews I got to do with you and Mark Walters was great. To, like meet, like sort of sit there and talk with Joe Lynch.
Yeah.
Great guy. And a lot of respect for him. And it was greatness. And then, some of the documentaries we got to see, we saw some weird ones. We saw Thor.
Thor's Kingdom.
Which was a little interesting. We saw the Canon films, Electric Boogaloo one, which was greatness. And then I actually went to a different one, and all these guys, and saw the 2008 comic book documentary. And it was cool because I actually randomly sat in the theater, and I ended up sitting right next to Edgar Wright.
What?
Hearing
did you know it?
Oh, after when I heard his laugh the first time, I was like, oh my god. And I was like, oh, it's everyone. Yeah. Everybody. Short guy, long hair. Yeah, it was like,
that's
oh,
so cool.
It was pretty cool. And so, just him enjoying it and him, like, asking questions. So it was a cool experience. And hopefully we get to do that again next year. That'd be fun stuff. As for TV shows, definitely Fargo was greatness. True Detective, yes. One show that no one mentioned that I thought has... sort of turned itself around, in my opinion. It was real annoying last year.
Grey's Anatomy.
Close. A New Girl. I am.
Oh, really? I
can't. I'm still a New Girl. Damon Wayans has joined the cast full time, and I just love all like all the guys. Sort of the. That could be the show.
Yeah, get rid of Zoe Deschanel.
But like, I just you know, there's great improvers with each other. You know,
just the new shows.
That was one of the cool. You know, Let's Be Cops was kind of cool. When they came to town, and just yeah, I like those guys, and I think New Girls come a long way for sure.
Cool.
And then also The Strain, I think.
Sprinkle.
The Strain was a great surprise for me. Like, it started off kind of weak, and it sort of built, I'm happy.
I read those books. I like them.
It's come a long way, and
their books.
And even like Walking Dead this year too is like actually the pacing was the great.
The first episode of Walking Dead of this season
first,
was bad.
Yeah, it was so good. It was amazing. And let's see, real quick, my favorite documentary that I did not bring up in my top 10 was The Internet's Own Boy. The story of Aaron Schwartz. I think you guys, it's on the short list for the Oscars, so you guys should watch it if you haven't seen it. It's really interesting. And, you know, I'm not into, like, it definitely opened my eyes on a lot of stuff.
Aaron Schwartz is an interesting guy.
Let's talk about the Dublin Dr. Pepper documentary from Don, our friend Don.
Oh, yeah.
Isn't that, like, a 2-year-old documentary, though? Because it came out the same...
It came out this year.
It came out officially this year?
Yeah,
officially.
Yeah. So last year it came out when I saw it.
Yeah.
I'll put this down here.
So yeah, that's all I got for this year. That's good. Johnny, what about you?
Favorite game reviews. Loved Let's Be Cops, guys. They were fucking hilarious.
Bob Riggle.
I have to say, what did I say? The Damon Wayans?
Daddy Face.
Well, the one that
got picked up. Margot Martindale, she hugged me, and we got to talk about nothing of heaven for real. Love that.
All our TV roles is what you talked about.
Basically. Mm-hmm. It was talking about you. The one I most dreaded and can't believe it worked out as good as it did was Marissa Tomei. I don't know how the hell I got 6 questions from her, and that was pretty remarkable. Really liked Locke director Stephen Knight.
He was awesome.
Made me appreciate his movies so much more after talking to him. Felt the same thing with Martin McDonagh.
Yeah.
Made me really love Calvary after talking to him.
Yeah.
And seeing how he made the movie in the area because that's where his mom's from. And I was like, what a sweet boy. And then you watch him and you're like, oh, not a sweet boy. You and your brother are fucking crazy. But I think they're two of the better writers, and I like that movie was so good. Frank Pavich was
excellent.
Really intelligent and told some really cool stories. I think me and Gwen had like an orgasm face the whole time we were there because it was just like so interesting to talk to him.
Oh.
He was so calm and cool.
He was.
And so smart, too.
Yeah.
Like, because he's a professor, right, in real life. And he was just so... I just really loved talking to him. I was happy. I was unhappy I didn't get to use my whole big chunk of mic. Because I was like, no one's going to sit and want to listen to an interview that's like 45 minutes long.
It was one of the longest ones we did this year, too. And then my other one is... Like, y'all had y'all's Fantastic Fest, your Austin experience. I got to go... Every year I go the last 5 years... Austin Film Festival is a bunch of writers. And I was giddy about this because I wanted to go talk to one person who wasn't one of the mainliners, so I knew I could get him. I was able to go through directly to him, so I now have his email. You know what I'm talking about. It's cool stuff. You're the Worst creator, Stephen Falk, who did Weeds and Orange is the New Black. The dude's
That's
one
cool.
of the best
So he works with Genji.
Yeah, he's one of Genji's old part, you know, friends. And,
I like Genji, she's weird, but I like her.
I just, my interview with him was so fun, like he was so off the cuff, and he was cursing and enjoying himself, and it was like 17 minutes of just us talking about funny shit, and I loved You the Worst. It was one of my favorite TV shows, so I'll go into favorite TV shows. Next to It, the best comedy was Silicon Valley.
Oh, good.
Amazing.
Best jerk-off joke ever.
Ever.
Incredible. Based on science and math.
Yes.
So awesome. I like what you said about shows, Gwen, that kind of teetered off these shows that ended,
mm-hmm.
the series that ended. I wasn't Sons of Anarchy, but my one that I was, like, bittersweet because I didn't like the ending, but
Boardwalk.
I loved Boardwalk.
Yeah.
I thought it was so poignant up until the last 2 episodes.
And that's so hard. I mean, and it's like, it kind of makes me wonder, like, I've been kind of kicking around the story idea about this of the TV gets so much credit for being like the golden age of television and the place for storytellers to go and blah, blah. But isn't the point of telling a story of having like a beautiful ending, mm-hmm. like knowing how to end something and knowing how to do it well? Like Vince Gilligan did it really, really well. I think even though it was tough to get to the end of The Office, and The Office did it very, very well because we finally got to see the end result of the documentary. But some of these shows, it's kind of like they don't go into it knowing exactly what they want to do, and they can't wrap up
definitely
their stories happens.
Yeah,
as well.
I agree.
Or the studio impacts it, like Lost.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I think they sped it up and ruined it. Boardwalk Empire could have done another year. Yeah. It could have done it and been fine, but HBO was like, fuck it.
Yeah.
Let's give you...
That's the problem with TV, though. You don't know how the longevity of your show is going to be. So that's where Lost kind of got screwed over.
But you look at what Vince Gilligan did in 5 years, and why can't anyone do that?
Well, and it kind of comes into you wondering if they can say, you know, we see a 5-year plan for this. We see a 6-year plan. Or if you just do it as a procedural, like if you do... like not Law and Order, but there's like good procedurals that hit those marks that are able to still have stories inside of that.
But I think that's why we're starting to see a rise in those shows that only at last 10 episodes, so you have a nice story you're able to tell over a longer period of time than you would in a movie. And I think that's why I think those have been becoming more popular. American Horror Stories have been doing it so well.
Fargo.
And True Detective and Fargo, hopefully they've had their first solid, strong seasons, and hopefully these next seasons are going to be just as strong. And I think that's a good way to move toward. We have like Grace Point, which was not as successful, but a lot of these things are failures. Yeah.
Oh, but if you haven't seen Broadchurch, it's going to be on Netflix this month.
Yeah. Season 2 comes out. Also the fall.
So I think, America's starting to use like the BBC format where, you know, less episodes is okay.
It's all
solid.
Yeah.
And speaking of less episodes that are solid, a show that I don't think any of y'all got into as much as me, it's my favorite show of the year. It's the best thing Steven Soderbergh's ever done.
The Nick.
Clive Owen.
That might be because you're the only person on this planet who has Nick.
Yeah.
Can we have your password?
Yeah, what's your password? We'll watch it.
We'll have this conversation next week.
I was thinking back off Katrina's password.
Get it to us.
But the name was the best shot TV show. It's the perfect medium for him, for Soderbergh. Clive Owen is flawless. It's a word.
Clive Owen really
is.
He's so bold in that. Like, you could just tell that Clive Owen was, and Clive Owen is like not a nice person.
He's not.
Like he is the opposite of a peach. But his performance is just so a dried peach. His performance is just—it's so captivating and so ballsy. And you're like, he doesn't give a fuck.
And
I just
shows
that.
Know how to end. It ends with introducing heroin. How do you do that? Like, the final sequence is, what is he taking to get over his cocaine addiction?
Heroin.
Holy fuck, shit, the second season's gonna be nuts.
Yeah.
I can't wait for it. It needs to get the hell off cinema.
Speaking of shows that don't know how to end, how are we gonna end this podcast?
Yeah. That's my favorite
Brian.
Show. That's your favorite show? We're in our 50th one?
How are we in our 50th, Brian?
No, just Nibbles. Glad you're all here.
Aww.
It's very nice to have done 50 with you.
Looking forward to the next year.
Yeah.
I think my favorite podcast memory was when Gotti and I bonded over how much we do not look forward to Superman versus Batman.
Which was almost basically how the podcast started. Talking about how much he hated Dark Knight. Dark Knight Rises. Oh,
the podcast where we decided to do a drinking game, and we got
before
the end of
guys,
it.
Guys, real talk. I almost brought us 2 bottles of champagne today, so we could have mimosas while we did the
podcast. We could have done that.
But then I was like, people will probably have things to do.
So that memory was we did 2 games. One was anytime somebody cursed, we had to take a shot. Or anytime somebody said film or movies, we had to take a shot.
And we weren't drinking, so we had to drink pickles.
The olive juice was so gross.
Everybody, I like the olive juice.
That was funny.
I was like, this isn't hard.
We had.
I was taking a shot because of you.
I can't do tequila.
So I think when we come back on January 4th, we should...
we should do a drinking game.
Drinking game.
We should do a drinking game. All right, we'll be...
Start the year off every year with a drinking game.
Let us know what you think of our podcast. Let us know what you want to do next year. We'll be back in 2015. Find us on iTunes and Stitcher.
Who's our favorite special guest of the...
Mark Walters. No, our favorite guest has got to be Susan, because she didn't come on as a team player, and we just adopted her and have loved her.
Yay, thanks, guys.
She's real tiny and sweet. She likes Gossip Girl. It's pretty awesome. Well, we are the Multimedia Men and Women. We'll be back next year.
Santa's dead.
Oh, before we go, let's end the podcast with your famous line now.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, what?
That's George the King.
You really need to, like, you gotta go find out. You have to send it out.
Can you do it one more time?
No.
Come on, one more time.
It won't be as good.
Yeah, I want to hear him do it.
It's never good to say.
Do it one second time for me.
It's not.
No?
God, it's... I don't remember.
No.
So you can't
even
do
it.
Like,
yeah.
He nailed it to natural.
What is this? What do you mean? It had to be. It was in the moment.
Mm-hmm. 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 Yes. Yes.